wealth has been synonymous with luxury, decadence, and elegance. It has a reputation for richness and has cultural significance as a valuable commodity used to dress royalty and the aristocracy. For centuries, China has held a monopoly on silk, which quickly became the most important luxury fabric in all of Europe. Even today, silk is highly valued for its legacy, beauty, and exoticism. I'm Christy Yai, and you're watching The Cost of Everything, where today we're going to unravel the great silk trade industry. The oldest silk production dates back to China, where it has been produced since 4000 BC. Silk production in China was standardized throughout the centuries, where you have silkworms gorging on mulberry leaves to encourage them to begin spinning their cocoons. From there, the cocoons are weighed and sorted and soaked in boiling water to unravel them so they can be strung into spools, which can then be made into silk fabrics. China is still the number one producer of modern silk, with as much as 90% of the world's silk coming from Asia. Now, the modern silk industry generates about $3 billion of revenue per year, where about 150,000 metric tons of silk are produced each year. In contrast, your basic cotton commodity produces 25 million metric tons annually. Because of its limited production quantity, silk commands a much higher price on the international market. In 2021, raw silk cost over $30 per kilogram, while your basic merino wool cost just $10 per kilogram. Now, there are several insects that produce silk fiber proteins, but the preferred insect is the domestic silkworm. After hatching, silkworms will eat constantly and must be fed at least twice a day on a specific type of mulberry leaf. White mulberry leaf is believed to encourage the best silk production. These silkworms need to collectively consume about 140 kilograms of mulberry leaves just to produce 1 kilogram of raw silk. After 1 to 2 months, the silkworms will start to build their cocoons. Cocoon weaving can take days, and during this time, the silkworm produces one continuous strand of silk that wraps itself inside of, which when unraveled can be stretched out to be 3/4 of a mile long. This process will take between 3 to 8 days, in which the silkworm rotates its body in a figure-eight movement around 300,000 times. It takes about 5,000 silkworms to produce 1 kilogram of raw silk, or about 3,000 cocoons to produce only 1 yard of fabric. After the cocoons are collected, they're boiled in water to kill the silkworm. The cocoon is then unwound in a process known as reeling, which can be done by hand or by machine. These individual strands of fiber are extremely thin and fragile, so they need to be wound together with other fibers to increase the tensile strength. The resulting product is raw silk, which is then made into skins. Before being made into yarn or fabric, the raw silk is graded into 11 categories from 6A through F. The grading takes into account factors like size deviation, cleanliness, neatness, tenacity, elongation, and any defects. 6A is the highest possible grade, and less than 1% of Chinese raw silk is graded at this level. France, Italy, and Japan have developed reputations for making the finest silk textiles that command the highest prices. Because of all the work and manual labor that goes into making it, silk fabrics can cost over $100 a yard before they're even made into anything. At heritage mills in Europe and Asia, the fabric itself can go for more than $300 a yard. High-quality silk has an instantly recognizable gloss and extremely lustrous and smooth without feeling overly slick. It naturally circulates air for a cooling effect, but can also help insulate the heat coming off of your body. But there is a country that will surprise you as one of the main leaders in silk production, and that is in the American continent. With this in mind, let's bring in Joao Berdu, chair of the Vale de Sede Institute. Now, it takes us by surprise that Brazil is a silk producer, even though it is not a Brazilian tradition. What makes Brazilian silk a high-quality product?
Well, it's the way silk is produced here. We produce silk in Brazil using the technology and what is the most updated technology that has been developed in Japan in the last, 70 years. And we have in Brazil a good climate, and our farmers have learned with technicians how to do and how to produce silk. And they have no ancient knowledge. They have not learned with grandparents, with parents. They have learned with technicians. And the quality of the silkworm that is being developed to them is the highest quality possible, and is the silkworm that is suitable to produce a high quality silk with good resistance and the strength and elongation aspects. So we have here good climate and skilled people, and a company that is known in the market as the company that produces the best silk in the world.
And how do international silk prices fluctuate, and what are some of the key drivers behind these fluctuations?
The silk is connected, is linked with the consumption of luxury items outside China and outside India. If you get Chinese silk production and Indian silk production, it will take about 96% of silk produced in the world. So what makes silk price fluctuates is the market for high-value items made of silk in Europe and the United States, and also the economy in China and the economy in India. The competition that silk, sericulture, the production of cocoon, can face with other kind of exploitation in agricultural field. So these are the main aspects that makes silk price fluctuates: demand and competition with other agricultural items.
And what are some of the key challenges faced by the silk industry in terms of cost management and maintaining competitive pricing?
The challenges faced by silk is that in order to add value to the products of made with synthetic fibers, there has been one kind of benchmarking with silk. So polyester, they used to compare in the past, they used to compare the lightness of the polyester and the brightness of the polyester fabric with the lightness and the brightness of and the smoothness of the silk fabric. This was in the beginning, in the 70s and the 80s in the last century. And today, as lightness and shyness is not the main importance, consumers are interested in sustainability. The challenge silk is facing is that in order to get market share or to take advantage of silk, these synthetic fibers are spreading the idea that polyester is more sustainable than silk. And this is absolutely not true, but it is there has been created some kind of matrix that considers only a few items and consider a few items that in which polyester gets better performance than silk. So we can say that the big challenge silk is facing now is that silk is as sustainable as fashion would like to be one day. But nowadays, silk is a very very small industry. Silk is only 0.1% of the fiber and man-made fiber produced. So 1 kilo of each 1,000 kilos is silk. So we have no power to spread the idea that silk is sustainability. Silk can only be produced if you have mulberry leaves produced without any kind of pesticide. And silkworm eats only fresh mulberry leaves. And if you don't have fresh mulberry leaves free of pesticides, it is not possible to produce silk. But few people knows it. And a lot of people is listening, a lot of untruth messages about the sustainability of synthetic fibers and sustainability of silk. These are the biggest challenges of today.
And how do advancements in technology and manufacturing processes impact the cost of silk production?
Directly. Silk is a very uses a lot of manpower. So you need in Brazil, you have one farmer can deal with 1 hectare of silk, about 2 acres, I believe. And one farmer deals with it. And in China, you will have about, let's say, number of farmers in China, maybe 7 farmers will deal with 1 hectare. And in India, 6 farmers will deal with 1 hectare. So whenever you make it easier to cut mulberry and to bring mulberry to the shed and to the shed where the silkworms are raised, whatever you make it easier to make it with technology, you will have a better yield. You will have a better condition to continue the production. And once you have also genetic improvement in the field of silkworm producing. So it is technology makes it easy for farmers to cultivate the mulberry fields, to cut the mulberry leaves, and to bring the mulberry leaves to farm to the shed, and then to clean the shed, and then also to harvest the cocoon from the frames where cocoons are produced. Silk is produced when the silkworms it's they for 25 days they eat mulberry leaves, and after it they produce the cocoon. One cocoon is only one filament with 1,200 meters long. In one cocoon, you have one filament only, and to produce the silk, you have to unreel this very thin filament without breaking it. So, what makes silk smooth is that the cocoon is reeled without breaking this very thin filament. And this is farmers. So farmers are feeding the silkworm for 25 days. After these 25 days, the silkworm start producing the cocoon. And in this process, whenever you use the technology to make things easier, you will facilitate the life of the farmers, and you make the farmers to produce bigger quantity and to increase production.
Thank you so much, Joao Berdu, but please stick around. Joao Berdu will stay with us right here after the break. And when we come back, we'll explore why India is the second largest producer of silk in the world, making it an important source of employment.
NATO is a peculiar organization. It claims to be a defensive military alliance, but at the same time claims it must constantly expand. Add to this, the alliance is claimed to project stability. In reality, it projects instability and insecurity and made Russia its primary enemy.
Hi, I'm Rick Sanchez, and I'm here to plead with you, whatever you do, do not watch my new show. Seriously, why watch something that's so different? Why listen to opinions that you won't get anywhere else? Look, if it pleases you to have the State Department, the CIA, weapons makers, multi-billion dollar corporations choose your facts for you, go ahead. Why change? And whatever you do, don't watch my show. Stay mainstream, because I'm probably going to make you uncomfortable. My show is called Direct Impact. But again, you probably don't want to watch it, because it might just change the way you think.
India is the second largest producer of silk in the world, in an industry that employs about 9.7 million people in the rural and semi-urban areas. This industry is one of the largest foreign exchange earners for the country. India produces four types of natural silks: mulberry, eri, tussar, and muga, which is then made into silk garments, fabrics, yarns, carpets, shawls, scarves, cushions, covers, accessories, and more. In 2022, India produced 34,903 metric tons of silk, and the share of mulberry production is the largest among other types of silk produced at 74%. This is followed by eri at 21%, tussar at 4.2%, and muga, which makes up less than 0.75% of India's total silk production. In 2022, India's exports of silk and silk products were valued at $248 million, which is an increase of over 25% over the previous year. Unlike seasonal crops, farming silkworms can be done all year round and can be harvested as many as 5 to 6 times a year. This industry has low capital requirements and plays an important role in providing employment to millions in rural parts of India and putting the country on a path of economic progress. Karnataka is the leading producer of silk in India, producing an average of 8,200 metric tons of silk every year. Silk also has rich cultural significance in India. It has been the evergreen fabric for generations for any function or ritual in Indian tradition and household, from weddings to pujas. Silk attire like a sari or lehenga is considered auspicious and pure for traditional celebrations and highly valued. These silkworms perform the best in the temperature range of 25 to 27 degrees Celsius and humidity of 75 to 85%. Generally, a temperature range of a maximum of 33 degrees is considered suitable for silkworm rearing. But beyond this range, mortality of the muga increases. Deforestation and rapid proliferation of small tea growers in Upper Assam has led to the shrinkage of traditional muga plantation. So the impact of global warming coupled with climate change on the growth of the industry cannot be ignored. Now, we take a closer look at the difference between India and other countries in Asia when it comes to the techniques used for high-quality silk production. And for this and more, let's bring in again Joao Berdu, chair of the Vale de Seda Institute. Now, can you discuss any unique or traditional techniques used in India for producing high-quality silk that may contribute to the cost and quality differentials?
Yeah, the unique techniques that are used in Brazil is this one, that the development of the hybrid of the silkworm is the development and the use of a kind of a hybrid of a silkworm is the secret of a high quality silk. So what happens is the silkworm that gives the best silk in terms of yarn production, is not as strong as a silkworm that produces not so good quality of silk. So whenever you have one integrated condition where a farmer will be paid for the additional labor he will have while dealing with a more delicate silkworm, and it will make the company, the reeling company, to produce a higher quality, and it will enable the reeling company to pay a little bit more for these farmers. So the integration between farmers and silk reeling is a secret to produce the best quality. If farmers go to the market to buy the hybrid they want, to buy the kind of the race of the silkworm they want, the race that is better for them, is a race that is a very strong silkworm that eats the mulberry leaves, that maybe it's not as fresh, it's not so fresh, and maybe he will not suffer with the high temperature. But the quality of the filament, its filament, the quality is not so big. But farmer will buy on the market this kind of egg and will sell the cocoon in the market and the governance of a market price. But when you have the governance of a kind of integration, when you have a partnership, governance made by partnership, where the company offers and gives or indicates the kind of hybrid to the farmer, and the farmer, knowing that the farmer will have to take care about the cleanness of the shed, will have to take care about the freshness of the mulberry leaves. Farmer will have to wake up at 6 a.m. in the morning and to go to cut the leaves for the day and put it in the warehouse so that they remain fresh all over the day. And it is a little bit more, it will work more than the farmer that works with a very strong silkworm that can go there at 3 p.m. and cut the leaves and give the leaves to the silkworm, and he will eat it with no problem. A very delicate silkworm with that produces a high quality raw silk that will not eat a hot mulberry leaf. He will die. So integration is the key. Is the key for improvement of the quality and the income of the farmers, and is the key to improve the quality and the income of the silk reeling, of the silk filleter.
And now, what are some of the key differences in the production methods, supply chains, or labor costs between silk production in India and silk production in non-Asian regions?
Yeah, it is I can tell you about what is the... There is no big difference between the labor cost in China or in India or even in Brazil in terms of sericulture, because farmers, they work for themselves. In Brazil, they are integrated and they work in the way I have explained it as the best way to work. They receive the best quality of hybrid of silkworm and they take care of it, and it will, and they will return it to the company, and the company will produce the best quality of raw silk. But in China and in India, whenever you have this kind of integration, farmer will choose those who pays more, and there will be no there is no big difference between in the labor cost for them. They will get more or less the same price, and there is some difference between the purchasing power of the cocoon in each country, it is related with the market price more than any other thing. But there is no significant difference in this case, because farmers, they are not employees; they are self-employed. They are in the market.
Thank you so much, Joao Berdu, for all your time today. While the silk industry has provided jobs for hundreds of thousands of people who work along the supply chain, the losers are the silkworms who are killed after weaving their silk cocoons every cycle. Roughly 3,000 silkworms are killed to make a single pound of silk. They're usually boiled alive while they're still inside in order to preserve the material quality, thread length, and value, because otherwise they would chew their way out of their cocoon when they become an adult and break the thread. An ethical alternative to conventional silk has emerged called Ahisema silk. This is made by allowing silkworms to complete their metamorphosis into moths before harvesting. Farmers make little cuts at certain positions of the cocoon that allow silkworms to hatch while maintaining the precious filaments at the same time. The cocoons are collected as a residual product and boiled afterwards. These silks typically lead to 10 extra days in the process to allow the silkworms to grow and hatch, plus some additional steps in labor. This compared to traditional silk farming, which would usually only take 15 minutes for the same process. And while the silk industry also generates a lot of waste in the form of twisted silk, rough silk, unreeled wasted cocoons, and other organic waste from plantations, waste products are found to have remarkable qualities for use in various industries like pharmaceuticals and cosmetics. Fibroin in the silk thread with antibacterial properties is used for tumor treatment, wound healing, and collagen regeneration. It is now also used in anti-aging and anti-wrinkle creams and ointments. So it is encouraging that the silk industry has taken steps to make production less wasteful and sustainable. I'm Christy Ai. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you right back here next time on The Cost of Everything.